ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، الله said in the Quran، أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا وأنكم إلينا لا ترجعون. Do you think you were created in vain and you shall never succumb to us? You think you were created forever and you will never meet your creator? But then Allah tells us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the human and the jinn but to worship me. Yes, Allah created us. And yes, we are going to meet Allah, and Allah did not allow us to live in this way like animals, unrestricted, unguided. We were created and brought upon this earth to worship Allah. Worshipping Allah means from the first moment of your life to the last breath in your life, you submit totally and fully to Allah. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. By Allah, you will not be true believers until Allah and His Messenger become your true leaders and idols. The ones who, if they say something, you accept. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It is never the choice of a true believer. You're not a true believer unless what? When you have something in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah, equivalent to the Qur'an in its ordained, when you have something in those two, you submit 100%. You don't say, I'm going to pray, but you know I'm going to do it because I have to. I'm going to fast, I'm going to do it because I have to. 100% in your heart, willingly, even if it's the cause of any harm to you or your family, you put Allah and His Messenger before everyone else. Otherwise, you're not a true believer. When Allah says pray, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we listen and we adhere. That's it. Because if you don't pray, you're not a Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the difference between us and them is prayer. Whomever leaves prayer is a kafir. Kafir. How many of this ummah pray? How many of this worldwide ummah pray? Small percentage. Small percentage of this ummah, I would say, with extremes, maybe less than 5%. Extreme. 5% of this ummah pray. If you don't pray, you're not considered in the statistics of Islam under Muslim rule. بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الْكُفْرِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. Between you and the major kufr, listen to how it's worded in the hadith. Don't listen to those who say there's a kufr and another kind of kufr. Yeah, there is, but in this, no. بين الرجل وبين الكفر. الكفر, the major kufr, the kufr that takes you out of Islam. Between a man and kufr is what, O Prophet of Allah? Even pray. How many of us pray? How many of us pray on time? How many of us know the value of this prayer? الَّذِينَ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Those who lose their prayer Those who lose, listen to how the verse is. Alladina ra'u-salah, those who disregard their prayer, don't leave it. It doesn't say those who leave their prayer, disregard their prayer. فَتَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّةً. What is غَيَّة? Do you know what غَيَّة is? Listen to the other verse before I say what غَيَّة is. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. They're conversed to. The people in hell are asked, why are you in Saqar? Why? What brought you Saqar? The first thing, لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We didn't pray. What is غَيَّة? What is Saqar? And in the third verse, what is وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe to those who pray. The ones who are mindless in their prayer. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. غَيَّة. We got غَيَّة. We got Saqar and we got way. What are they? These are families in hell. You know who these are for? These are not for someone who doesn't pray. If you don't pray, that's hell, 100%. But we're talking about someone who plays on with his prayer, skips a prayer, delays prayer, doesn't pray them on time, combines them all when he gets home. What is Saqar? What is Ghaya? What is Way? These are all the worst valleys in hell. Ibn Abbas, when he was asked about these verses, the best interpreter of the Quran, after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are these verses? Are they about the one who leaves his prayer? He said, no. These are not about one who leaves his prayer. These are about one who just delays his prayer, who's mindless in his prayer, who delays and combines them all together. These are the three worst valleys in hell. You know the pot and the fumes of hell, the hottest fumes of hell, the pot of the people burning in hell, go to these valleys. Who's in these valleys? The one who doesn't pray is in these valleys. These worst valleys, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these valleys are so hot, so dirty, so smelly, that they, the main part of heaven, ask Allah to be secluded from these. Who's in these? The one who delays his prayer. The one who's mindless in his prayer. The one who doesn't take care of his obligation in Islam. How many of the ummah we have as Muslims now? How many of those few Muslims adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah? How many Muslims of those when Allah and His Messenger say, be loyal your Muslim brothers against the infidels, be loyal them? How many are not modernists? You know, we have a trend of modernists today. They're swept through modernism. They want to bend and tilt the rules of Islam. But the rules are Islam from 1,400 years ago. And so today they are one. How many? We're left with a certain percentage of Islam. Just like the story of Bani Israel when they asked the leader to become. Yeah, they wanted a leader. The people after Musa alayhi salam, they wanted a leader just like we did. And the Prophet, Allah, their Prophet back then, he said, you know, you're not suitable for that. You have to wait until you're prepared internally. When you pray on time, when you fast on time, when you obey Allah's commands. They said, no, we want to fight. We want to fight and we want a leader to fight. Like us. We want jihad. We want to fight jihad. We want the khalifa. We want that. And wallahi, we don't even know how to pray. I say, wallahi al-azim, the ones who pray don't know how to pray like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray like I used to pray. How did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray? We need to find the sunnah that we don't find in our, that we don't do in our prayer and do them. We gotta do that. We gotta do that because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pray like I used to pray. How can we fight? How can we last in a battlefield when we don't even... The ones who pray, don't know how to pray. Ignorantly following scholar after scholar, leaving the Quran in the Sunnah fight. We put the Quran in the Sunnah and blindly follow. The Sheikh said this. The Sheikh said this. People get up before the Imam. The Imam didn't even finish the prayer, and everyone's finished. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, have any of you, don't you fear that Allah will transform your head into a donkey and a pig? If you raise your head before the Imam, if you raise your head before the Imam, we have to learn how to pray before we consider ourselves true Muslims. We have to obey the commands of Allah. We have to obey the commands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
to be fully Muslim. This is the basic. We're not going to the other extremes of the other sunnahs of Islam that are obligatory. We're talking about the aqidah, the core of Islam. Who to loyal? Who to be loyal? You have to know as a Muslim who you be loyal. Who you against? Who you're with? This is what Allah says. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى أَوْلِيَاءَ. All you who believe in Allah, take not the Jews and Christians as your loyals. Loyalty. If you be loyal to them, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ, who be loyal to the Jews and the Christians against his brother, who have sympathy for the Jews and Christians against his brother, who fights with the Jews and the Christians against his brothers, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, he's one of them. Automatic. This is what Islam is about. This is a mere example of what we're going through. The suffering of us is what Allah said. وَمَا أَصَارَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَحْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever misfortune it happens to you is because what your own hands committed. Listen to the end of the verse. And he forgave Allah. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. He forgave Allah. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ. We are the lowest ummah on this planet today. We get killed and we're the terrorists. We get bombed and we're the terrorists. Our entire nation is demolished off the face of the earth and we're the terrorists. Why? Because we are straight from Islam. We don't pray. We don't follow the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah. Asma radiallahu anha, when she got a headache, you know what she used to do? That's in the Taqeen. The woman who and her father was with her, was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave. You know what she used to do? She's the one who used to bring him the food and the water. Her sister used to go and help her, Aisha, baby little Aisha back then, radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, used to go help her. Their brother used to go and cover the tracks in the sand, he used to cover them. Their slave used to, their slave is the one who used to cover the tracks. The brother is the one who used to bring them the news. A family who hated Islam at a time when if these people let down Islam, Islam would have been abolished from the face of this earth. Asma radiallahu anha, the wife of the Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anha, when she got a headache, she would grab her head and say, wallahi, this headache is from a sin I committed and Allah has forgiven Allah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anha, the man who stuck by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's side throughout the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he used to say? He said, wallahi, our animals become weak and hazel in our desert from our sins. From our sins. The Muslims were demolished in Afghanistan because of our sins. That's why our call is to call people back to Islam, to the Quran and the Sunnah, according to how the Sahaba understood the Quran and the Sunnah. A call to liberate this Ummah, so it will, the suffering will be eliminated from amongst this Ummah. One of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, when his donkey used to disobey him, he used to say, wallahi, this is from my own sin. The same applies to us. When your car doesn't start in the morning, when you have a problem in the morning, when you have a problem with your wife, with your child, with your professor in school, you ask yourself, what did I do? Allah does not oppress. Allah does not oppress. We are the ones who oppress ourselves. But Allah gave us in this great religion a way out. Who doesn't make a mistake? It's normal to make a mistake. But the problem is persistent on the mistake. Knowing that you are wrong and persistent on it. Not repenting to Allah. If Allah wanted us not to make mistakes, we wouldn't offend humans. He already has angels. If Allah wanted us pure devils, as most of us are, He would have made us devils. We are in the middle. We make mistakes. But we have a way out. We have a way out. And that way is repentance to Allah. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشًا أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ
فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون.
Those who say make a sin, immediately repent to Allah. Meaning what? That you're going to make sin. That this ummah is going to make sin. That this ummah is going to make sin. But the point is, immediately turn to Allah.
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ.
Oh, you who despair, oh, you who have transgressed your boundaries, despair not the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all the sins.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
That's another.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whomever commits a sin and prays two rak'ahs and repents to Allah, Allah will forgive his sin. What more mercy do we want than this? What more mercy than Allah? We are not like religions. You have to go to the sheikh. You don't need the sheikh to repent. You don't need the priest to repent. You go to Allah in the third end of the night and you say, Ya Allah, I committed a sin. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, I will not go back to it. You accept the sin. You don't go back to it. And you put in your heart that I will never go back to it. And you truly regret it. You truly regret it. Allah, you know what Allah is going to do? The generous Almighty Allah is going to do.
فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا.
Allah will transform that sin into a deed. أولئك يبدل الله إلا من تاب. You repent. وآمن. You regret it. You believe and you regret it. وعمل عملا صالحا يدو good deeds. فأولئك يبدل الله سيئات حسنات. Allah will transform your deeds, your sins into deeds. Look at the examples from the صحابة رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. الغامدية. Do you know what she did? She did one of the biggest sins in Islam. Probably the biggest, second big sin after shirk. Killed and then committed adultery or fornication. Al-Ghamidiyya committed fornication. What's her punishment? She got to be stoned. She went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knowing the punishment, pregnant from what she had done. She committed a sin, but the sting of that sin was in her heart. How did I do it? When Allah prohibited, she made a mistake. She realized her mistake. She couldn't tolerate her own self. But she went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, oh Prophet of Allah, I've committed adultery in front of all the Sahaba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to look away. She came back, oh Prophet of Allah, I committed adultery. He said, you're pregnant? Come back after 9 months. We can't stone you when there's a baby in there. Islamic punishments are the most just punishments on this planet. Islamic punishments like this will deter AIDS and gonorrhea and syphilis that's still in this country. Before you talk about the punishments of Islam, talk about the filth in this country. It's being destroyed within. Look at the percentage of AIDS and gonorrhea and syphilis and the venereal diseases that are spread throughout this country. Stone one adulteress and this will eliminate all the problem. Does Islam go around stoning every adulteress? You have to bring 4 witnesses, which is probably nearly impossible. How are you going to bring 4 witnesses who see them in the middle of the act? That's impossible. Probably the only time you see that is in some Western countries who go out in public and commit this sin. Because there's no punishment from Allah. Because there's no punishment in that country. Other than that, the only way you get punished or stoned is if you go and confess. And it's better, this is the truth, it's better for you to repent between you and Allah rather than go and confess to a Muslim Khalifa or a leader in the stone. It's better for you if Allah kept it quiet upon you
to extraordinary fence between you and Allah better than going to the Khalifa. Why? What's that proof? The proof is the story. The Prophet looked away from her. The Prophet told her, come back after 9 months. Did he say, bring in a bond, bring in someone to watch over you to make sure you're coming? He didn't even ask for her name. He said, go, come back. He didn't go, don't come back. But he didn't say that. He said, go, go, after 9 months. Maybe the misery that she's going through will cool off after 9 months. She won't come back. But what's this faithful woman? Right by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does she do? 9 months. She brings her baby. He comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. The sting of that sin, it is the iman in her heart. The sting of that sin didn't go away. 9 months was enough. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go breastfeed him. You know how many years that is? 2 years. 24 months. Go, go lady, maybe the sting of the sin will cool off. You raise that kid and go and repent between you and Allah. She breastfed him for 2 years. 2 years and 9 months, and the sting was still in her heart. How did I have committed that sin? She comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the baby in her hand, and in the baby's hand, a piece of bread to let the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know that he's done. His breastfed, and now he eats. The Prophet now has no choice. He went through all the phases. He can't tell her go, because this is a command from on top of the sky. He has to follow the command of Allah, even though he may be sympathetic. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders her clothing be placed around her, and that she be stoned. And she's stoned. Khalid ibn al-Walid hits her with a stone, and blood splattered all over Khalid ibn al-Walid. Khalid ibn al-Walid says, may Allah radiallahu anhu, may Allah curse you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face changes color. He says, Khalid, you know the iman of this woman, if it were to be divided on 70 of the people of Medina, it would have allowed them entry to Hajj. 70. Who are those 70? Those are Abu Bakr. Those are Abu Bakr, the one who stuck side by side to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar, the one who put terror in the hearts of the hypocrite. Uthman. Ali, the heroic fighter. 70 of those heroic men. The iman of this woman would shower. Why? It was for repentance. The same with the other young companion, Ma'ad radiallahu anhu. He comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Same thing. O Prophet of Allah, I committed adultery. The Prophet looks left. He goes to the left side. O Prophet of Allah, I committed adultery. The Prophet, this is additional proof of what I just said, that it's better to repent between you and Allah, even if there's a Khalifa. The Prophet looks away from him 4 times. But then that's it. You can't keep looking away from him. The Prophet says, is this man mentally ill? No. Everyone replies, no. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes him, and orders that he be stoned. In a similar instance happened. The Sahaba say, maybe it was better for him. Maybe it was better for him to stay away from the Muslim Ummah. Maybe it was better away from him not to come forward in what he had done. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, well, wallahi, mad is loaded in a garden of heaven. قُلْ يَا عِبَدَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ Allah calls you, Ya عِبَادِ, my worshippers, despair not the mercy of Allah. If you come to Allah, as in the Hadith al-Qudsi says, with sins from this earth until the top of the sky. Oh, this is a Hadith, authentic Hadith Qudsi. And you ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah is going to forgive you. We need to return to Allah first, to the true Islam, not the modernized Islam, not the falsified version of Islam, the true Islam of the Quran. The Sunnah, because see, there's many versions. People say, I can interpret the Quran. If you take a verse right now from the Quran, every one of us could come up with a meaning. That's why we need the Sunnah. The Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Those who do not believe in the Sunnah are deviants. If someone does not believe in the Bukhari and the Muslim and the Sunnah, they are deviants. Those who curse the Sahaba are deviants.
You have to believe in the Sunnah to be a Muslim. Equivalent. The Quran and the Sunnah together. Side by side in source wise. Yes, the Quran is more holy when you read it. But source wise, the Quran and the Sunnah are equivalent. And then you got a third thing. Some people may come and say we have different versions of the Sunnah or different interpretation. Then comes the decisive matter. How the Sahaba understood the Quran and the Sunnah, that eliminates all differences, only one path, and every other path is a straight. That's it. That's Islam. That's Islam. We need to go back to it before we repent to Allah. Someone may say, why should I repent? Why? What's going to cause me to repent? Because see, this day and age, we live in so much luxury, we think we're going to live forever. But that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's falsified statement. We're going to die. We're going to die. And sometimes the baby dies before the elders. Sometimes the young one, who's healthy, dies before the elder. Last Thursday, we buried a sister in Dearborn. Young sister, recently married, few years. She goes to have a checkup at the doctor, and she has cancer. Imagine that. Are you ready to handle a situation like that? You got a year to live. We followed this. We know this girl. We followed through it. A year, 6 months, 2 months. Last Thursday, we buried her in Dearborn. May Allah forgive her and raise her place in heaven. She took it with courage. She took it with iman. Wallahi, her courage was better than hundreds of men today. She took it with praying to Allah at night. The people around her be crying. And her little son, who's not going to grow old to see her. But she put her faith in Allah. Never shed a tear over that. She said, Allah will aid me through what I'm going through. And Allah will send them someone better than me to raise them. Iman. She died saying, La ilaha illallah. That's the iman. Are you ready to handle such a situation? How do you know if you were ever in hell? Can you guarantee that? Can anyone guarantee that? That's what's going to wake you up. That you know you're going to die. And wallahi al-azim, you're going to die. Because Allah said in the Quran, Allah calls us dead people walking. We're dead people walking. In the Kamayyah, the Prophet was alive. The truth was revealed to him. And the Sahaba were alive. But he told them, in the Kamayyah, you're a dead man walking. So are we. Because if you're not going to live forever, you're a dead man. That's why the life of Jannah is called the true life, because you live forever. And the life in hell is the long, everlasting life. This life, how much are you going to live? 50, 60, 70? And then you're going to die. And then you're going to meet Allah on a day like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? On his last day, La ilaha illallah. One of the last things he said, Inna lil mawti la takarat. La ilaha illallah. This has its agony. You gotta prepare for that day when everyone is away from you. Everyone's gonna turn away from you. The doctors are gonna give up. That's it. Give him a few more moments. He's gonna die. Your mother, your father on your side, your children, maybe crying around you. But could they help you? The angel of death is next to you. No one is gonna stop him. La ilaha illallah. Inna lil mawti la sakarat. Prepare for that day. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was on his deathbed, Ibn Abbas came to pay his last visit to him. He said, Umar, a testimony from a Sahabi to a Sahabi to make him feel better. He fought his life defending the holiest man to take this earth. He spent his life conquering land for the sake of La ilaha illallah. What happens when he's on his deathbed? Ibn Abbas said, Umar, you became a Muslim. Your Islam was victory to us. You migrated. Migration was a victory because of you. And you became a Khalifa. You spread justice through the world. You spread justice. Umar ibn Khattab spread the justice that the Ummah will never know. This globe will never know justice until we see a man like Umar. Umar, the one who used to see a sheep
What he used to say, wallahi, he's in Medina, in Syria, in Sham, in Palestine, how many days and weeks away, travel. He says, wallahi, if a sheep over there, a sheep, not a Jew, not a Christian, not a Muslim, if a sheep falls off the side of the earth, I am afraid I will be asked by Allah, why didn't you pave the road for her, ya Omar? This is Omar. When the United States take control of the world, they slaughter us. They destroy entire countries in Afghanistan. They destroy the world. We need a man like Omar to show them what Islam can spread justice throughout the world. How Islam can be just for the universe. When he sees a Jew, he takes him by his hand. Omar, the Khalifa, the one his name would put terror in the leaders, the superpowers of his time. When he went to conquer Palestine, the leaders of the Christians went outside to see this man. Who's Omar? Is he from flesh and blood or is he from brass and metal? They were Omar spread terror throughout the world to spread the justice of La ilaha illallah. He takes the Jew by his hand. He says, why are you begging? Omar! So the pagan Jew, not a pagan Muslim, why are you begging? He says, I used to work and pay my jizya, my taxes, when I was young. Now I'm old, I can't work. And I have nowhere to go. Omar takes them in establishment. What are we going to say? What are we going to say when he is a man who was given 100% word by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he will enter heaven? What are we going to say when we're surrounded by sin? Sin is on top of us. Sin is under us. We don't even know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray, and we think we're going to enter into heaven. How are we going to do when we're in a stand like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Umar? Abu Bakr, another man. And it says, but he says, I wish I was an unforgotten object that was dumped and thrown away. Abu Bakr. So Allah won't punish me. Abu Bakr. From the beginning, first day of the message, to the last day of his life. And it was all commitment to Allah. And Hassan al-Basri used to jump up. He used to say, the students asked him, what's wrong with Hassan al-Basri, famous scholar? He said, I remember death. Death has left nothing in my mind. The day you're going to meet Allah, the day right today when you're going to meet Allah, when the angel of death comes to you. Listen to how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took beforehand, before one died, two angels come to everyone. If you are good, they come to you and the room you're in to comfort you. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا. You're good. Now stay back time. Now start stay back time. لا تخافوا. Don't be afraid. ولا تحزنوا. Don't be sad. You got nothing to worry about. وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. We're here to tell you the good news of the heaven that's awaiting. This is before you die. This is in the last moment of your life in this life. But what about the other one? The one who commits the sin. The one who does that which Allah prohibits. The one who doesn't know how to pray. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen a man who prayed. And he was teaching his Sahaba. He said, go back and pray. You didn't pray. He said, I prayed. He said, go back and pray. You didn't pray. What does it mean? When you don't pray right, you don't pray. When you don't fulfill the sunnah of the salah, you don't pray. He said, go back and pray. Then the Prophet said, third time, he said, this is the best I know. So the Prophet sat and taught him in a long hadith how to pray. We need to know how to pray. Wallahi, we think we're all that. We don't even know how to pray. You just have to sit and watch any masjid and sit and count the errors of the prayer. And we think we pray. We must prepare for that. The bad person, the angels of death, bad angels come to him. The person dying says, what brings you here? You're ugly. You're terrorizing. You could only come with bad news. They come up to him as he's dying. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا تَوَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ.
How would you like to see it when the angels take their souls in the worst and harshest way? But that's not the only thing. Slapping their face and their back. To add to the punishment. To add to the agony. It's hard. Your soul is leaving. When Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu was asked, how is it? He was asked by his kids around him when he was dying. How is this? He said, wallahi, it's as though the sky and the earth are collapsing. I'm in the middle of between them and my soul is coming out. Amr ibn al-As, the one who conquered the world, the mujahid, the warrior, he says that. And in addition to that, if someone is bad, توفتهم الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم. Their faces and their backs. He died. The good one, the beautiful angels, comfort him until his last moment. You wash him. You take him to the masjid. On his way to the masjid and on his way to his last destiny, if he's good, faster, faster. He's saying, faster, faster. If he is bad, where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? That's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in a long hadith when he buried one of his Sahaba and he surrounded them. He told them, gather on me. And he began with a little branch poking the earth and telling the Sahaba, teaching them to emanate in what's awaiting. Wallahi, one of this is going to happen to you. Either one of the good ones or one of the bad ones. One of the two. You can't be both. You got to take five and you choose it. Don't come in that last moment when you see the angel. Say, now I repent. That's it. Too late. That's the only time your repentance is not accepted. When the gargoyle of death comes to your throat and you see those angels in the room and you say, now I want to repent. Too late. You see him dead. That's it. You know, there was a brother that was died maybe 3 or 4 months ago. He was a good brother. He's elder, maybe in his 65, 70. When he was dying, he told his wife, take the pictures down. As he was dying, in that moment, to prove this reality. This is real. I'm not telling you worldwide something that happened worldwide. This is locally, in our community. He said, take down the pictures in the house. The angels, the good angels want to come in, and the pictures won't allow them to come in. Because you know what? The pictures don't allow angels. A house with pictures doesn't have allow angels. That's a sign he was a good man. The angels want to come in, and he told her to take them down. At his last moment, in his last moment in this life. Then you take him, you bury him, and you put the dirt on top of him. Now he's alone. He's alone in the first night of another world. He's in a place different than this place. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pour the dirt on him and say one thing. Ask for your brother that he says the righteous words and ask for Allah's mercy upon him. And then he says, when you walk away from him, he, the dead person, can hear the footsteps of his family walking away. He's alone now. He's alone in the grave. In the dark grave. Another two angels come to him. They set him up in what you would call today Indian style. In the grave. This is a reality. Because your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't lie. Wallahi, this is going to happen. They ask him, Man Rabbu? Who is your Lord? Madinuk, what is your religion? What do you think about the man who was sent with you, for you? مَا رَحْيُكَ بَالْرَجِلِ الَّذِي ضَعِفَ فِيكُمْ. Three questions. Who doesn't know the answer to it? Does anyone here not know the answer? Actually, could teach a kafir or the leader of the kuffar the answers in a matter of seconds, minutes. But you think everyone's going to answer, whether Muslim or not? This is what Allah says in the Quran. يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. Allah gives them the righteous stand in this life and in the life after. That's it. When the questions come up, it's a terrorizing moment. Scared, alone. It depends on what you've done in this life. If you're a good person, you're going to say, من ربك الله ربي. Madino. Islam is my religion. What do you think about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You praise him.
in good.
That's if you're good. If you're bad,
مَرَبُّ. These are the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
I don't know. Is it the Prophet?
The Prophet said, I don't know.
I'm not agree.
Is it the hadith?
مَا دَيْنُ. I don't know.
مَا رَأِيكَ بِرَبُّ. Who doesn't know the answer? Who doesn't know them?
But it was the one who Allah gives the right stance to. What do you think about the man who was sent to you?
I don't know.
Then comes the Mizrabba. You know what the Mizrabba is? That's a sledgehammer.
You know who uses that sledgehammer? The angels. The angels, two angels that needs to carry it. One angel of Allah's angel is enough to destroy countries, to take down mountains. It takes two angels to carry the Mizrabba. As soon as he says, I don't know, the last time,
the Mizrabba goes in between his eyes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, everyone will hear it, except the human and the jinn. Because if they heard it, they would die. We go back to that person who was good, and he answered his question. The angel told him, look at your left side. A window, a little window will open up, and he will see hell. He will be scared, screaming, shouting, this is for me. They will tell him, this was your place in hell had you done bad. Look at your right side. He opened a nice window with heaven and his position in heaven there. That's the place awaiting for you. That's the place awaiting for you. Sleep like a bride. You know how comfort and no worries and nothing, and she's happy in her first night. That's how they tell her. Sleep like a bride. And his grave will open as far as his eyesight can see. We go back to the other one. Who's bad? They tell him, look at your right side. He sees heaven. He gets happy. Then the window closes. They said, that was your place. Had you done good? Look at your left side. That's what's awaiting you right now in hell. He's terrorized. You know what he says? Ya Rab, la tuqil as-sa'ah. Ya Rab, don't think about the judgment day. He's seen a little bit of the hell that's happening to him, and he doesn't want the worst that's coming up in the judgment day. His grave closes until his lungs, his ribs, until it. And all he can say until the judgment day, oh Allah, don't bring about the judgment day. The other one says, oh Allah, bring about the judgment day. Oh Allah, bring about the judgment day until the judgment day comes. And then the horn is blown. And everyone stands up before Allah, prepare for the day when you stand before Allah, naked, like the day your mother gave birth to you. Uncircumcised. The hadith says, uncircumcised, naked, like the day your mother gave birth to you. Aisha radiallahu anha says, naked? How could we? He said, Aisha, the matter is worse than that. Yes, it's worse than that. It's worse than you think in the flesh. Everyone is terrorized. Allah says, that's true terrorism. That's the truth. You see how they ran from the World Trade Center, September 11th, the videos of them running away, they were terrorized. That's how it is under. Nothing compared to that. But probably a small percentage of how the judgment day. Everyone's running away. Terrorized from left to right. Just, they don't know where they are. Because the earth comes on the judgment day with no markings. There's no mountain, there's no street, there's no building. The flooring is all one color. The ground, the earth is all, the land where you're gathered is all one color. So you don't know if you're one part, where you're at, and if you're in the other part, you don't know where you're at. Terror. Ya ayyuha an-nas ittaqoo rabbakum. Fear Allah. Inna zalzalat as-sa'ati shay'un 'azeem. The terror of the judgment day is something very big. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَرْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَةٍ. It terrorizes the woman who has a baby. If there was a pregnant woman who were to see that, her baby would fall. She would lose her baby from the terror of that day. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. You see the people? And so they are drunk. But they are not drunk. You know what the problem is?
ولكن عذاب الله شديد ولكن عذاب الله شديد. The punishment of Allah is severe. That's the problem. They're not drunk. The woman isn't going to let her baby go down just like that. She's scared because the punishment of Allah is severe. And that's when everyone is in his sweat according to his sin. Some up to their ankles, some up to their knees, up to their waist, up to their necks, and some covered entirely with sweat. When the sun, a few inches away, inches from you, but there are people who are protected under the shade of Allah, the ones who give in charity, the ones whose heart is attached to the masjid, but they know how to pray. Attached to the masjid, but they know how to pray right. Don't waste in your time praying. Just, you know, traditional way. Read the books. As a scholar, it's fard ayn upon you to know how to pray, how to read the Fatiha, how to read the Fatiha, how to read the Fatiha. You have to know that. But your rak'ah is not accepted unless you read the Fatiha correctly. You have to know that. So prepare for that day. Otherwise, you come, you pray five times a day, and you're like that man the Prophet.